Welcome to this episode of Your Wellness MD Podcast. Family physician and wellness expert, Dr. Daniela Stein, has meaningful conversations that will take your health to the next level. She explores the connection between a healthy body, mind, and soul, and shares tips that will enable you to thrive. Dr. Stein has helped thousands of people have a better quality of life by improving their health with science-based knowledge, education, better nutrition, mindfulness, and lifestyle choices. Join us today, empowering you to live your best life with optimal health.
Hi, I'm Dr. Daniela Stein, and with me today, I have Dr. White.
Hello, I'm Dr. Ashley White, and I practice obesity medicine here at Wellness MD Health.
So Dr. White specialized in obesity medicine. She has her diploma from the American Board of Obesity Medicine. And I've done further training in lifestyle medicine. I have a diploma from the American Board of Lifestyle Medicine. Both of us are very passionate about weight loss, about helping our people live their best life they can with optimal health. A big question we've been getting often every day is about protein. There is so much about protein on TikTok now. Mm-hmm. So our opinion from a medical doctor practicing in Canada, looking at the Canadian guidelines, Dr. White, what's your take on protein?
Yeah, so my take on protein is that if you're going to focus on one macronutrient, one component of your food, it should be protein. And there are, you know, lots of fancy things that one person might want to know about what kind of protein and, you know, how often and all that stuff. But, you know, for a beginner without medical supervision and without knowing the details of your body, just focus on trying to get close to 100 grams a day. Ideally, we're looking at 1.2 to 1.6 grams per kilo of ideal body weight in a person who is under 65. And as you are aging, as you get older, you need more. You need closer to 1.7 or 1.8. But for a beginner, that's very, very intimidating. And so what I just say to do is aim for 100. Ideally, you'll get 30 in the morning, 30 at lunch, 30 at dinner. Don't worry about the carbs. Don't worry about the fat. The rest will come. The first building block of success is going to be around structured protein intake.
So what this means, if you've never looked at your protein at all, start by tracking, right? That is a very good place to start because you don't know if you're taking enough protein, too much, too little, if you don't track it. And especially with females, we see quite often in our culture, it's more acceptable for guys to eat a couple of eggs for breakfast, to have a steak for dinner, whereas we've been just socialized in such a way that women typically eat much less protein. So first, just track your protein. Yeah. That's a good place to start.
My patients are very surprised to realize when they first come into my program is that they're often barely eating 60 grams a day. And what's interesting about people in larger bodies, that my patients tend to be larger, is that they actually have a lot of lean muscle mass underneath the subcutaneous tissue. So
protein. Yeah, and that is why when you work with people, you always do a proper body composition.
Yeah, yeah.
You look at the data. You don't just...
I'm not guessing.
Yes.
There's no guessing. So it's important to know like a person's overall weight. But what I really care about, especially if I'm helping someone lose weight, it behooves me. It is my moral and ethical responsibility to make sure that they are not wasting away underneath their tissue. So if you are not feeding your protein, you are not going to protect your healthy tissue, including your muscle and your bone, as you lose weight. It's extremely difficult to keep lean mass on you as you bring down fat mass. But you can do it if you can sort of keep a few basic principles in mind and you're under a supervised program where we're actually gathering that data on almost a monthly basis.
And that is why you work closely with your patient, with any patient who comes here, especially if patients want to go on a Ozempic. That's something that's been well documented, that people would often lose muscle mass. And we don't want to lose muscle mass.
You lose mass no matter how you lose weight. But Ozempic is all the rage. So yes, you're gonna, no matter what way you lose weight, bariatric surgery, diet, exercise, whatever, lean mass will be likely to go down. And your job is to fight to protect every last bit of it, because muscle is metabolism. So all of the mitochondria, which are the cells that essentially convert the food we eat into the fuel of our body, all of them live mostly in the muscle. And so the more muscle you have, the more efficient and and trained that muscle is, the more effectively you use fuel, and your body can dispose of excess fuel a little more carefully and selectively. So your job as you lose weight is not only to become smaller, because, you know, there are some health benefits of that, but your job is to protect your metabolism so that in the future, if you do want to or need to come off the medication, or God forbid, you get something like a cancer and you need to go through serious medical therapy, you've got muscle insurance on you. You've got a little to lose. If you go into a serious illness with no muscle, you will not come out well as you could. So think about muscle as metabolism and muscle as like an insurance policy against what happens as you head into the later decades of your life.
And we see it in hospital all the time. Say someone comes in with a hip fracture. Say you're in your 70s or 80, God forbid you break a hip. For people with strong muscles, they'll get an operation. Next morning, they'll get up, walk with the physio, and go home. For people with weaker muscles, you know, if you can't get up out of a chair without using your hands, or you can't sit and stand up from the beach without using your arms, those are the people who, after a hip operation, the next day can't stand up because their muscles are not strong enough. And then they need to stay in hospital for 12 weeks to do rehab. Then your risk of dying that year after your hip fracture is 30%. So if you have any focus on longevity, the muscle mass is a very, very quick, easy place to start to really improve your health span. So not just how long you're going to live, but with what quality of life you're going to live.
Mm-hmm. I think none of us who practice obesity medicine want to throw someone on hormone therapy and then watch them waste away only to die exactly the same time as they would have died from cardiovascular disease or stroke, but from like complications of a hip fracture. Like, that doesn't make any sense. It's not what we want. There is a way to have your cake and eat it too. On this, there is. You really need to know what you're doing. You need to work with a team who gets it, and you need to track. You need to be accountable. It's just like spending, you know, the muscle interest compound. So the muscle begets muscle, metabolism begets metabolism. You can create forward momentum with your overall function and longevity just by like little bits every day. That's the most important piece.
So first of all, if someone is listening, watching, wondering, first just track. Just see how much protein you're taking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what you mentioned is you can maybe have like 1.5 grams per kilogram. So say you weigh 70 kilograms, your goal would be maybe 100 grams of protein a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you think, oh my goodness, how am I going to eat that much protein? You can use another app where you can take pictures. And when we see patients at our clinic, our patients use an app where they track their food, take pictures of the food, and then it shows you. You've eaten this, this is how much protein. You've eaten this, this is how much protein. And that kind of helps you in real time to know, I've only eaten 50 grams of protein today. Maybe I should add some salmon for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So to just easily track. So we don't want it to be hard. The benefit, though, when you start eating more protein, many benefits. One benefit is that it keeps you full. So that is something that you will be less likely to snack at night. You'll be less likely to crave sugar if you've had adequate protein intake. Another benefit of protein is it stabilizes your blood sugar. Say you eat chocolate, then your blood sugar will spike. Your body secretes insulin. It makes your blood pressure drop. That drop causes you to be a little bit shaky, irritable, and you're hungry again, and then you'll eat again. Whereas when you eat protein, your blood sugar, the effect on your blood sugar is not as dramatic. You don't get a spike. It's stabilized for a longer time before it slowly tapers down. So there is no up and downs in your blood sugar bit of satiety.
Exactly. This brings up the concept of the thermic effect of food. So you actually burn calories digesting food, and the ultra processed foods, a food that's like kind of factory made and doesn't have a lot of fiber in particular, is super easy to digest. You actually don't burn very many calories digesting really simple foods like processed foods. But when you consume a lot of protein, you actually burn more calories digesting the protein. So that's like one little metabolic benefit. The other part of it is that we do genetic testing, nutritional genetic testing in our clinic, because there are some people who, if they have a higher proportion of protein in their diet than others, are more likely to lose weight more effectively. So we do tailor our protein intake based on the basically the role of uncoupling protein one, which doesn't really matter, but it's one of the ways that metabolism is guided or influenced at the sort of micro level. And then we also can tell who or which patients are going to benefit more significantly from resistance training as their major exercise versus cardiovascular training. And most often the answer is you should probably do some of both, but some people, I don't worry about cardio because some of them are like gym addicts and they've too much toxicity around gym stuff. So I'm just like, you're just going to lift weights. And every week the weights should get heavier. The end. Like simplify.
But what you're also saying is you're doing personalized medicine. Mm-hmm. So not everyone will be the same. So mm-hmm. It doesn't help if I follow TikTok, Huberman, and do everything that he says, I'm not going to look like him.
No. Yeah, he's got genetic gifts, I think, but also probably spends most of his time doing that. And we don't have the time to do that.
So that is quite key. First, to be aware, to track your protein. And then if you have access, it's so helpful to have that personalized approach to your health, because everyone's health is different. Everyone wants to focus on health. You know, quite often we in our 40s and 50s, we're so focused maybe on making money. But then in our 70s, we would spend double that amount of money to just to preserve our health. And we often see people like that who comes maybe in their 70s to us, and then they'll give anything to optimize their health. So we would like to encourage you, if you're watching this, even at a younger age, to really focus on your health. And one of the things that you can do is to look at the nutrients that you eat. Not all calories are the same. Some calories are more empty. And a calorie that we know would benefit you would be a protein calorie. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be meat. You can have a vegan mm-hmm. or vegetarian diet. It's very helpful to just focus on whole foods and look at the protein. Can you ever eat too much protein?
Yeah, definitely. Some people, for medical reasons, should not consume too much protein. The biggest thing about protein is that once you reach that 1.6 grams per kilo of ideal body weight threshold, your body doesn't actually benefit. It's not like you create more muscle as a result of that higher protein. So then you're just essentially wasting, like you're wasting product or wasting food, which you don't want to do. But also in some cases, it really depends on the person, you can end up with some toxic byproducts of significantly excess protein. Now, our ideas of what constitutes or what excess protein is have evolved over the years. We used to be really afraid of doses of 40 to 50 grams per meal in normal size people. And we don't need to be afraid of those kinds of doses in people who have generally normal organ function, particularly young people, people who are gestating, people who are doing enormous amounts of physical labor, and older people who need to consume more protein to build the same amount of muscle relative to younger people.
And both of us see that in hospital. We work in big hospitals where our patients, as they come in, first thing they get a dietitian consult for wound healing, for any healing after an operation. You need adequate protein. You know, quite a lot of it, and it's sad to see, but as people get older, our diet are often comprised of a tea and toast diet because it's easier mm-hmm. to have tea and toast than make yourself a steak. But then also that will impair wound healing. So to be your optimal self, you can really focus while you're young, strong on your muscle mass.
Yeah, and it's funny that the tricky thing about some of the hormonal anti-obesity medications like the GLP-1s like Ozempic and the semaglutide and Wegovy, there's so many. The tricky thing is that it does influence the appetite. It puts guardrails around the appetite, and
helps with weight loss.
It's good.
But
the kind of eating that is so often first blunted when the appetite is pared back is the desire for large like protein boluses. So that's when people have to say, like, listen, I know I don't really have an appetite right now, or my appetite is just sort of adjusting. Because in the beginning, when you start these medications, the appetite is often just sort of suppressed. It will come back. Your brain will adapt. But in that process, it's important that you sort of mind over matter and say, I know, but I have to consume this much protein. And then on the matter of what kind of protein, ultimately, there are ways to get high quality, whole, essential amino acid based protein from plant-based sources. There are. You just have to make sure that the vegan protein that you're using is appropriately supplemented with enough different kinds of plants, so all of your essential amino acids are covered. whey protein, a high quality whey protein isolate, is considered complete because it has all of the amino acids that your body can't synthesize on its own. And so that's like why it's called a complete protein. You can get vegan and vegetarian proteins that don't, that are complete.
Good. Thanks for your time. I know our listeners and will love this. If you would like to work with Dr. White, all her details are in the description below. If you are in Ontario in Canada, to work with Dr. White, if you'd like to learn more, you can just follow. We'll have lots of resources in the description below. Thank you so much for your time. It will mean the world to us if you like and subscribe. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode today by medical doctor Daniela Stein. Follow us on social media and subscribe to our newsletter at www.wellnessmdhelp.com to stay up to date on educational resources that will take your quality of life to the next level. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your healthcare provider. Never disregard medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast. Remember, you are created to thrive.